Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in, the one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome into the Inside Carolina podcast. This is the Scoop, UNC's premier football recruiting podcast on Inside Carolina, sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. I'm joined by Donnie Scoops Callahan. What's going on, Don?
Not too much. You're interrupting my soccer watching. You know what the cool thing that's a side to all this stuff is that I'm watching different countries and seeing some of the commercials and listening to some of the pregame music is so strange. But what's up with Ross?
Okay. Well, this is a little special scoop. We're kind of get to it. This is Diego Pound's podcast. We're coming to you a little bit earlier in the week. We usually do midweek. We're bringing you the info now, Monday afternoon. Kind of just to wrap up, it's Diego Pound's recruitment. He committed to UNC on Friday around 3 p.m. Don's got a bunch of articles up, interview with Pounds, interview with his high school coach, a high three-star offensive lineman from Raleigh Millbrook, committed to UNC, becomes UNC's 17th commitment. And I think finishes out the offensive line needs for UNC in the 2021 class. Don, generally, let's go back to Friday. And You wrote a preview, a primer. At that moment, kind of what was your thought about Diego Pound? So we recorded a podcast earlier in the week, And you thought it was going to be Penn State. I think the majority of America thought it was Penn State. And there was a story written on the Penn State 24/7 Sports website with quotes from Pounds.
Yeah.
So floor is yours right here to get started.
Yeah, so your question was about Friday. I mean, by Thursday, I started to kind of hear some – I guess, could I step into Thursday as opposed to Friday?
Sure.
Okay. So Thursday, I started to hear some rumors. Some of them was reliable people, but people who can be easily kind of snowed over by rumors. And so I listened to them, but – you know, I knew that the Penn State site and that Steve Wilfong basically had it from Pounds himself, or had it from Pounds himself, that he was going to commit to Penn State. So I brushed him off, but the rumors got louder and louder and more, and I started to kind of look into it a little bit. And what really kind of alarmed me was when some of the Penn State contacts that I had, who had been super confident about Penn State's chances, and looking back and knowing and having talked to Diego Pounds after the commitment, he confirmed this. The reason why they were so confident was because he had committed to Penn State. So those same people were not confident anymore. And so I'm like, whoa. So dug into it a lot more. And my UNC sources were kind of in the same boat as me, where they're like, hey, this is looking pretty promising. You know, things could be changing. And then by Friday, I didn't get any sort of like definitive until maybe like an hour or so before he actually announced. But it just became very apparent that either this kid was doing a really good job of creating that sort of, I guess, misdirection, or that he was going to end up at North Carolina.
So when you spoke to UNC sources, did they feel confident that he was going to be a Tar Heel or confident that they didn't know, which gave them a little sense of optimism that there is a chance.
Yeah, so there was, you know, the rule in recruiting is always if you don't know, you're not going to get them. And so they didn't know. So because they didn't know, they were like, ah, man, this usually doesn't go our way. But at the same time, he didn't tell them no. And usually, you know, a kid that you have a strong rapport with will give you the heads up so that you're not kind of standing there with your pants down sort of thing and kind of say, hey, it's not no. Or, hey, it's not going to be you guys. But that also wasn't happening. And then you were hearing a lot of positivity coming from people close to him, or North Carolina sources were hearing positivity. Now, this is Thursday. You know, Wednesday, Tuesday, they thought done deal, nothing, you know, just basically like I was, where it's done, you know, my Friday afternoon's free sort of thing. And so, I mean, even I'm talking really late Thursday, UNC was like, you know, fingers crossed, we think it's still going to probably be Penn State, but this could potentially be North Carolina. So yeah.
Gotcha. Let's reset here. It's for those who don't know, Diego Pounds, 6'6", 305-pound offensive lineman, Millbrook High School in Raleigh, North Carolina. He's the number 445 ranked player in the nation. So it's a high three-star, number 38th offensive tackle, number 25 in the state of North Carolina. And he another in-state commitment for the Tar Heels. Don, where is his – what's his position at UNC?
So I think because he's so new to the game, he's only played 1 year of varsity ball, has only played a couple seasons of football, period, that it's still wide open. If you look at the fact that he's 6'6 and moves really well, you automatically want to start him at the offensive tackle position. But really just how he matures and how he takes to learning the actual position will dictate whether he has to be moved into guard or stays at tackle. And determine which tackle he's going to play.
Have you seen him play in person?
I have not seen him play in person.
Yes. So go back. So he started playing football at the varsity level as a junior.
Yes, last year.
He's only had 1 year of varsity football. Did he play like JV or anything?
Yes, he played JV beforehand. But you can understand where North Carolina was hesitant in offering him for so long is, you know, you have 1 year and there were still some question marks in his game, which is completely understandable considering that he only really played 1 year. And they wanted to get those questions answered before they offered him, which caused the delayed offer.
Yeah. So if you go back and read some of Don's articles, if you have a premium membership to Inside Carolina, you'll see some quotes about from his coach, you know, that UNC wanted to see him play, do some spring ball, spring workouts, and definitely see a couple games in the high school season, which would have been August and September, before offering the decommitment of Jared Wilson, kind of sped up that process, along with the fact that football was not going to happen in the spring and in the fall. So they pulled the trigger with the offer. The offer came down in August, right?
Yeah, early August.
Early August, Diego Pounds, and then he commits to UNC late September. Okay, so why UNC for Diego Pounds? Outside of there's obviously a lot of factors, especially him being so close in Raleigh.
Yeah, so I think it was a culmination of things. You know, the location fits. The fact that even though he's committed to Penn State, he had never visited Penn State. I think, Keyshawn Silver and other UNC commits that he was really close friends with. I knew that Keyshawn Silver and Diego Pounds had developed a strong friendship. I thought it was more at a distance. I knew that they were in AAU games. I didn't realize that they were rooming together at some of these tournaments, which obviously is a huge difference than seeing a guy for like 5 seconds between games. You know what I mean?
They're on the same AAU basketball team.
I don't know if they're on the same team. I know that they're in the same tournaments. They might be on the same team. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I just know that they room together. So maybe they are on the same team.
Yeah. Thanks for your honesty.
So, my candor. So obviously those sort of friendships make things a lot easier to feel comfortable with the school. It all comes down to comfort, you know, location, friendships, that all that stuff helps with the comfort level, helps with his mom's comfort level. And, I think that's really for the most part. And I think once he started kind of digging a little bit deeper into the education side, he really wasn't, I think UNC fans would be so surprised at how little recruits know or understand just the different degrees and the education reputation that North Carolina has. I mean, Pounds, just some of the things he said. I mean, he just learned it really earlier in the week, just about North Carolina education and how good it was, and that obviously helped.
Yeah, I mean, I think people have, I think coming out of high school, a lot of people have no idea about majors. I think it's normal high school, like, all right, I'm just gonna go to school because it's in state, or, you know, not necessarily, not talking about football here, but if you don't have parents, an older brother, or family members to educate you on certain things about certain schools, you're gonna have a lack of concept or even, you know, any knowledge of these schools.
And it makes sense if you really kind of think about it, but I think a lot of us are so used to knowing what school is what in education that we just kind of take it for granted and assume that recruits know that in high school when really their interests are elsewhere.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and talk about Johnny T-shirt. When we come back, I want to get into more about his recruitment, like, you know, John Lilly's role, Stacey Searle's role, Mack Brown's role, the role of Keyshawn Silver and other recruits, and kind of how a guy can be verbally committed to Penn State and then flip. I mean, it was because it surprised all of us, I think, and especially you. Yeah, okay. We'll be right back. First, we'll talk about Giant T-shirt, GiantT-shirt.com. They're our podcast subscriber, podcast sponsors on Franklin Street and on GiantT-shirt.com. Get the best selection of UNC gear, sweatshirts, hats, T-shirts, trinkets, gifts. It's an awesome place to get all your stuff. Go to GiantT-shirt.com or right on Franklin Street. Get everything you need for your UNC fandom. Johnny T-shirt, great loyal sponsors. We appreciate what they do for us, and you should appreciate them as well. Help yourself, help them, help us. Go to Johnny T-shirt, GiantT-shirt.com, and all Inside Carolina subscribers get 10% off, which can definitely help on big orders when you're shopping for gifts. One-stop shop, get your sister a shirt, your brother a sweatshirt, your dad a couple coffee mugs, and your mom a hat or something. Giant T-shirt, GiantT-shirt.com. We're going to go to some national ads here. Right back with The Scoop.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, we are back. All right, Don. So, Diego Pounds, break down his recruitment from maybe even before, way before he offered, kind of how UNC approached recruiting him, knowing that he had not played much football, knowing that they probably had some guys higher on their list, including Jared Wilson, among others, and how they approached offering him, you know, even breadcrumbing him along to keep him interested, and then eventually pulling the offer. Who kind of led that? What was the plan?
Well, okay. So I guess it started late last season. He actually attended two games at Carolina, two of the latter games. I'd have to look it up in my notes to see exactly which games. And communication stayed. He actually visited, I believe, in January for a junior day.
Okay.
And, you know, at the same time, there obviously were offers that were out there to other offensive linemen. And, you know, the spots filled up by April when Jarrett Wilson committed. You know, prior to Wilson committing, there definitely was communication between Sherrills and Pounds on a regular basis, maybe not necessarily weekly, but on a regular basis. From what I've gathered, is that contact dropped off, perhaps completely, right after Wilson committed. And, you know, I'm sure that there was some sort of communication to some degree, but not nearly as much. And then obviously once Wilson decommits, you kind of look at your board and you kind of see, okay, who is it? Who do we want to look at? And by that point, Pounds's profile had raised tremendously with all the scholarship offers he had picked up. I think he had ultimately had over 36 from Alabama, Penn State, LSU, Auburn, all those, I mean, all the big time schools had offered him. How many of those were actually committable? I mean, cause you know, who knows, but they all offered him. And so I think that that helped North Carolina kind of look at him a little bit more. And I mean, if you look at it, I mean, it was almost, I believe it, if it wasn't the same day, it was the very next day North Carolina offered him that Jarrett Wilson flip. Because if you remember, and any of those people listening, the Jarrett Wilson stuff started to kind of leak out that Thursday or Friday. And then he actually made the switch to Georgia officially, even though he probably did it silently a couple days earlier. He did it officially, or publicly, I should say, on Monday.
Okay. And then they just keep recruiting him. John Lilly gets involved.
Mm-hmm.
Stacey Searles gets involved. You said Searles was the one reaching out. Mm-hmm. Wasn't John Lilly his main recruiter?
Yeah. So in this sort of situation, since it's an offensive lineman, and then also you have the fact that Lilly, he wasn't added to the staff until, was it February? And so I'm sure that what Lilly is probably doing at that point is keeping in contact with the coaches in yeah. his territory, the high school coaches in his territory. So I don't know exactly when Lilly got involved. I think we could safely say that Lilly was definitely involved once UNC offered. I believe, again, I have to look at my notes, but I believe that Sherrills was the one who extended the scholarship offer. But one of the X factors that we haven't mentioned yet is that Lilly and Diego Pounds's head coach, Clarence Inscore, actually went to college together.
Guilford College.
Yes, that's correct. I had that. I didn't know it, so I actually looked it up while you were doing the commercial break, but very good. So,
do you know their mascot?
Ooh, I do not.
Quakers.
Quakers, okay. Are there Quakers in Guilford County?
There's a lot of Quakers in Greensboro.
Is there really? Okay.
Yeah, there's two meetings. That's what they call their churches. Meetings. Okay. I went to high school with a lot of Quakers.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, there's a big population there. They played a big role on the Underground Railroad during the slavery and Civil War era.
Look at this. Look at what we're dishing up for you listeners. We got Ross just with the just spitting facts, as the kids would say. So anyway, so that relationship was key because, you know,
the relationship between John Lilly and Pounds as high school coach.
Yes, was key because obviously Inscore trusts Lilly, and just read the Q&A that I posted, just the things he said. I mean, I don't think you could say much better about a guy than what Inscore said. So if you obviously if you as a high school coach have that sort of thoughts about a guy, then obviously your players are going to pick up on that. And I'm sure Diego picked up on that he could trust Lilly. And because, I mean, if you think about it, as a UNC fan, you're probably like, oh, this is easy. You know, in-state guy, yada, yada, North Carolina. But for a kid who's been committed to a school, had established a relationship with all these coaches at a school, and then to make that switch, I mean, that's not easy. And there is, in his mind, some risk involved. And obviously, what kind of eases those concerns and the risk, or the perceived risk, is just feeling comfortable with those who you're making that switch to.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I mean, he had never visited Penn State. He had never met the coaches in person.
Yeah, everyone's made a big deal about that. But now North Carolina, fortunately, hasn't had to deal with that a whole lot. Although, Stevenson did visit North Carolina at some point, but didn't visit before he committed. There's a lot of other schools who've had guys commit without visiting. And that's just the time that we're in where we have to do these sort of things, especially you're going to see it a whole lot more. You're going to see guys sign with schools that they've never visited because of the dead period being extended all the way until January.
Yeah. I mean, and without, if he had visited, I could understand. I mean, like going to a Penn State home game in the fall has to be incredible.
Yeah.
So I'd understand the allure of playing at a big time Big Ten school. SEC's the same way. You get that feeling when you go to those big schools, Ohio State, but having not visited during a game and have not known the coaches, I mean, I think that certainly probably made him feel a little bit less of an allegiance to Penn State and the Nittany Lions. Okay, so, I mean, what do you think happened in the last week? I mean, I've read some of your stuff, but, I mean, what do you think? Because for all we know, he was committed until Thursday or through Thursday, and then that's kind of when it opened up. He had been verbally committed for, it sounds like, almost a month, if not longer. A silent verbal commit. He was going to make it public on Friday to Penn State, and then something happened the last week that made him switch to Carolina.
Yeah, I think that he had some conversations. This is just what I gather. I don't know for certain exactly what happened. Only Diego knows that. But I think he had some conversations with some people and started to kind of do his research a little bit more, and then just – And maybe, and I know this might be a good segue for you for your next question, but
that's not how it works.
No, okay. I know that the commits were hammering him all week long, and so I'm sure that kind of played a role also.
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten that a little bit with Keyshawn Silver. I mean, I think the in-state allure. I think he's always liked UNC, right? Are you watching soccer game?
Well,
are you focused on the podcast? Or you watch a soccer game.
I
see your eyes drifting towards the TV.
I am multitasking.
Trust me, they're not going to score. Trust me. I know that sport.
They're going to score. they actually did score, I think. Yeah, they're reviewing it. Anyway.
Why don't you pause it and watch it after the podcast?
Then I have to get up. The remote's over there. Anyway, so I used to communicate a lot with Diego earlier in the year, and I don't remember exactly what he said to me during those times, but it was apparent to me, at least like kind of just how he said things and all that, that UNC was definitely an offer that he coveted. And so, you know, but you know, those sort of things do kind of wear off after time, especially when you feel like they don't want you.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a balancing of that. And I feel like Mac Brown, through reading your articles, Mac Brown definitely eased that tension, explained the process, explained what happened, and went through why they waited to offer and why they essentially slow played him. And this is what Clemson does, you know? Clemson doesn't offer everybody, and then when they pull the offer or they extend the offer, the player commits. And we've seen it 100 times before. And that's what
when they're dealing with that. They're dealing exactly with the same thing with the cornerback, with Jordan Hancock, who switched to Ohio State, and now they're trying to get back in with a DB from Georgia. That you know, same sort of situation.
Clemson is.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Anything else on Pounds before we wrap this up? Let's see, what kind of player is he? I mean, we mentioned a little bit. He's position's not set, but it seems like he's very athletic.
Yes.
He's very big. He's already 305. He looks like that weight and athleticism, it looks like he could be a great guard, but you think more tackle because of athleticism. You know, what do you think he brings initially just from a raw talent standpoint?
Well, I definitely could see him at guard. That's why I'm hesitant to say tackle, because I think that if he slims down, his athleticism ends up being like this huge thing for his game, then obviously tackle. But if he keeps the weight, and develops more power in his game, then yeah, guard could be his future. But as him as a whole, I mean, he's your stereotypical big basketball player turned lineman, you know, no different than Keyshawn Silver, although Keyshawn is a D lineman as opposed to offensive lineman. You know, I mean, you see it with Travis Shaw, and you see it with who is a 22, five-star 22 in-state guy that obviously North Carolina is super high on. Peyton Page, who's committed to Clemson, that North Carolina was heavily and Bob with also same thing. You know, these guys who grow up focused on basketball, love basketball, but then just basically just outgrow the sport, as you know, not height wise, but width wise, and so yeah.
Future becomes football because they're not going to be 6'8".
Yeah.
And jump out of the gym, but they still have that athleticism.
But you're also talking about kids who are 300 plus pounds who could dunk a basketball.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
So definitely a project. Probably a guy who redshirts and doesn't play as much, especially if you look at UNC's offensive line room. They don't graduate any seniors. They have a lot of, you know, a lot of sophomores, juniors, redshirt, freshmen that are going to move into those spots. So definitely a guy that will be a project and be a guy who UNC looks to in year two and year three to find a position and take over there. Anything else, Don?
Nothing I can think of. I think we covered it all. 360 of Diego Pounds.
Yeah, we'll let you get back to your soccer game. I apologize to our listeners because Don was his attention was on the soccer game and not on the Inside Carolina Scoop listeners. Don?
Yeah, my apologies. Although I think I delivered here.
This is a last minute podcast. Wanted to get it out on Monday. There's a little opening here in the schedule, and instead of waiting until Wednesday or Thursday, guys, we appreciate you listening. Remember Johnny T-shirt and GiantT-shirt.com. Rate, review, and subscribe. I forgot to say that at the beginning of the podcast. Hit that subscribe button. Give us a review. Give us a rating that helps us. And if you are not a subscriber, go to Inside Carolina, subscribe, and get 10% off all your Johnny T-shirt orders. We appreciate you listening to The Scoop.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.